Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back in. We'll see if the skipper cringes. We've been calling this Ned's Day.
Ned's Day.
All day today.
I'm sure he loves that.
Dubbing Wednesday now Ned's Day because it's the day Ned Yost, the Royals manager, joins us each and every week. We love it.
Yeah, we love it. And it's all brought to you by Dick Smith Ford. Do you like it? We're going to petition to change it from Wednesday to Ned's Day. Are you on board, Skip?
No.
What? I can't believe you shot that down. No. I figured you'd be all over that one today.
No. I'm not into Ned's Day. Wednesday's nice, though. We're right in the middle of the week, and always like that.
Well, before we get to last night, which I thought Hamill was just brilliant last night, you got a bobblehead doll now. The Game of Thrones bobblehead doll's coming out with you sitting up there on the throne. How much input did you have on that to get this thing in the works?
They asked me if they could do it, and I said yes.
That was it?
That was it. I mean, I didn't know what they were doing. You know, I trust our marketing people and didn't have any idea. They said that they thought this would be a great idea, and would I be willing? Can they do it? And I said, yeah, absolutely. You guys think it's a good idea? Go for it.
Yeah, I think it's fun, and I think it's already creating a lot of buzz of people wanting that Game of Thrones Ned Yost bobblehead doll that will be given away sometime in June. So I know we're all excited about that. Hey, last night, man, Hamill was fantastic. I mean, I watched him and went, that's the Jason Hamill that we want. What was the difference in him, or why do you think he was so much better last night than he has been for the better part of this season?
Well, you know, I think that he started the season out really, really well, pitching like he did last night. And for me, the difference was command of his slider and fastball. And if you go back and you look at Jason Hamill's starts over the course of the year, I mean, it's probably four pitches that the opposing team does damage on and ends up beating them. It's not pitch after pitch or deep pitch counts. You know, he always does a really good job of managing his pitch count. But last night he managed his pitch count, but his slider and his fastball, he executed those pitches extremely well. The contact that they had off him, you know, was soft contact. He just did a great job of pitching last night. Really just changed speeds, kept the ball down, kept it in a good spot, in the strike zone, and was very consistent with it.
We've talked about it in terms of hitters before, having to kind of see that scoreboard and seeing that average number be a good thing. Do you find that with pitchers too, that you could say, hey, you were doing some things well, we've seen it, but you hadn't got that result? How big is it for him to get a result?
Well, you know, it was bigger. You just, as a manager, it goes day to day, and you're looking at what they're doing, and there's a lot of reasons why they don't win. Maybe they're making two or three bad pitches. Maybe we didn't score enough runs, you know. But, it's been a while since he won. And, I was kind of, surprised a little bit. He was really excited at the end of the game. He said he almost forgot what it was like to celebrate a win that he had pitched. So I guess it had been a long time. But, again, I think that, even though the numbers don't look great, I don't think he's pitched as bad as the numbers, have said this year.
What is the proper way to celebrate after a win?
Oh, I go home and go to bed. I don't know what they do. He was just excited, with his teammates eating after the game and just enjoying it.
Yeah, you have to just, like, enjoy him because, I mean, it's as much as you are a professional athlete, man, we've said this a lot, and I know Bill Self over at KU preaches this. He goes, we never enjoy the wins as much as we let the losses eat us inside. Do you ever get to that point, Ned, where you enjoy the wins as much as you allow the loss to eat you inside, or do you never reach that point?
I don't think you ever reach that point. I think that, as a coach or as a competitor, you know, you expect to win. You know, so every day you expect to win. So when you win, I've said this many times, you know, the joy of the win never matches the agony of the defeat. And it's just the way that it's been. I don't think it'll ever match the agony of defeat. When you lose, it's no fun. I mean, it's just absolutely no fun.
You know, the big thing for the last couple of weeks has been the shifting that you guys are doing a little bit more of this year than in the past, and you gave your thoughts on that at the early part of May. Jason Hamill gave his last night. I want to play what he said for about the shifts for you and then kind of get your reaction to that, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Complete against the shift as of today, because it's just very frustrating. I mean, it's, you expect to make pitches, and you know, when we make a pitch, you know, we expect somebody to be there to field it. So if I had a whole side to hit through, you know, I'm sure I'd try and be able to get one through there at one point too.
So as a pitcher, he clearly doesn't like it. How are you feeling more and more as you see these shifts starting to take place?
We do a lot of work on the shifts, and you know, I understand his comments, and his comments probably were made out of frustration. But you know, the bottom line is, when we have our pitchers and catchers meetings, you know, we go over this. So I mean, they have every opportunity to say, "Hey, I don't want to do this right here. I don't want to shift this guy. I don't want to shift that guy." So you know, a lot of it they have control over. So. You know, we're always going to, if a starting pitcher doesn't want to shift a guy, we won't shift him. We'll move him back to the other side. So, you know, sometimes it works. You know, we take the recommendations on the guys, and Jersh and I'll sit down before every series, and we'll decide which guys we want to shift and which guys we don't. You know, there's, like, Carpenter's a big shift guy. He's 85% shift, but he's a really, really good bunter too. So, you know, that leaves the whole, you know, left side wide open. So we got to bring our third baseman in to field the bunt. So, you know, we decide not to shift him there. We bring the shortstop back over. But, you know, there's guys that, you know, that we look at that we shift and guys that we don't.
Shifts were looked at as unconventional, now a little more commonplace. Tampa Bay is doing something that's certainly drawing news lately. How much are you paying attention to them starting a reliever, and is it something that you have considered or will kind of monitor a little bit?
No. I mean, I've seen it. You know, I thought it was an interesting idea. You know, I was even more interested to see Joe Maddon, who will try anything. He's like Mikey. He'll eat anything, right? you know, he'll try anything, and he's not. He said he didn't think the idea would catch on, so you know, I think it's a good idea. You kind of got to applaud them for thinking out of the box a little bit, but I don't think it'll catch on.
Has there been anything outside the box that you've always wanted to try but just never have really allowed yourself to do?
You know, not really. You know, I thought one time, I never run on a 3-2 count with runners at first and second, nobody out, for fear of hitting into a triple play. You know, a lot of times you'll run – if you got a guy that can put the ball in play, you'll run 3-2 in situations to stay out of a double play. You know, but it, first and second, nobody out. You're always afraid somebody's going to hit into a line drive and there's a triple play, you'd be out of the inning. And, you know, I always thought one time that you could send the runner at first base in that situation, 3-2. The runner at first base runs. The runner at second base stays still. Now, if he swings and misses, it's only going to be a double play. If it's a ground ball, then it's not going to be – they're going to throw the ball to first, so you're still staying out of the double play. If it's a line drive, it's only a double play. You know, we thought about that. That's about as outside of the box as we got, but we've never put it into play.
You could have somebody really fast at first pass the dude at second base, though, and then you're in some real trouble, you know?
Yeah, well, that's not going to happen. I mean, you know – they understand what the play is and what the idea behind it is. It's like, you know, it's like everything else. You completely explain what you're doing so everybody's on board and knows what's going on.
Ned, you said you had some thoughts the other day about helping Danny Duffy get back on the right track. What are they?
I'm not telling.
You're not?
And I told the press that before. No, this is these are things that are going to – that, you know, I don't want to tell the opposing team what we're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's just stuff that they don't need to know, and that nobody really needs to know. I think that there are some things that can help Danny, and I think Danny agrees some, but there's, you know, there's some issues behind it. And, you know, in terms of telling everybody what we're trying to do, I'm not going to do it. Because the opposing team, like I said, can look at it and say, oh, he's going to try this or he's going to try that. We're going to let them find out for themselves.
Have you talked to Danny since you said you've got some ideas for him?
Yeah, of course I did.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to say I have ideas and then not talk to him.
Yeah, I don't know what it's like.
These are all things that we, you know, that we talked about. I mean, we talked about as soon as, you know, as soon as he was taken out of the game. I started in. This is what I think we need to do. This is why I think we need to do it. And, you know, that was when he was, you know, really, really frustrated. And you know, I want you to think about this. And then, then go into extensive conversations with Cal about it. So, you know, Cal can put it into practice and, you know, him and Danny can go to work.
All right. We've got Memorial Day coming up, which is the kind of the unofficial start of the summer season, if you will. If you're throwing a summer barbecue, what's on the spread? What are people eating at your place?
Oh, man, we're eating Boston butt. We're eating hamburgers, hot dogs. We might have a nice fish fry. You know, there's all kinds of things that we would that we would cook at the farm if we were having a Memorial Day barbecue.
Any kind of specific side dishes that you like the beans or cheesy corn or anything like that?
No, my wife does a great job with fresh tomatoes, corn, field peas and butter beans and fried okra. You know, we would probably have all that. And then the topper, of course, would be the homemade ice cream.
Homemade ice cream? Really? What kind?
Mostly vanilla, but any kind, banana, chocolate, whatever you want.
How long do you have to turn that crank, or you got an electric machine now that does that?
No, we got an electric machine now. We kind of moved into the modern era, and we use an electric ice cream maker.
Very nicely done. Go get a win, beat those Cardinals, take 2 out of 3. We'll see you next week back here at Kauffman Stadium.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Take care. Ned Yost with us here on 610 Sports Radio, brought to you by Dick Smith Ford in Raytown.
Darn, sometimes he just forgets it's us and he tells us.
Yeah.
Like, I thought maybe we get that Danny Duffy answer.
He must really have something that he
Which
thinks
is great.
It's fantastic because Danny needs, you know, all the advice he can get.
Right, I got some things. We're going to work on them and we're going to do it.
What was that first thing he said he was eating at his barbecue, though?
Boston butt.
Boston butt.
What is Boston butt?
Pulled pork.
That's a name for pulled pork?
Yeah, you've never heard that?
No.
Google it. It's on the computer. You go to google.com, type in Boston butt.
Do I have to put a HTTPS before that?
You could. Okay,
so, yeah. And then www.
www.google. Yes. Google, you said?
Google.
All of it. Yep.
Google.com.
Yep. And I'll tell you exactly what Boston
butt is. I don't
know
if I want to Google Boston butt. That's just me.
Well, I've Googled a lot of weird things.
Yeah. That's not an office computer, Google. Pat Mahomes is being compared to my favorite video game quarterback. Also, your chance to win a custom men's sports shirt from Byron on the Plaza. Coming up next.
We're eating Boston butt.
Fesco in the morning, powered by the Jewish Community Center, 610 Sports Radio.
There's a new Pat Mahomes comparison, and I love it. I want the video game. I want the retro video game of it. We'll discuss that coming up in just a moment. Your chance to win a free custom men's sports shirt from Byron on the Plaza for the modern tailored man, your style, your fabric, and most importantly, your perfect fit from Byron on the Plaza. 913-576-7610. Tell us which Pac-12 team has the colors crimson and gold. Which Pac-12 team has the colors crimson and gold? 913-576-7610.
Crimson and gold?
You know that. You're going to win.
What about crimson and clover?
Over and over?
Yeah. Crimson and gold.
I Googled that song the last time you tried to sing it. That was a terrible song.
Yeah, it's bad. I didn't say it was a good song. So we got some breaking news from the NFL. The draft has been awarded.
Yes, to Nashville for 2019.
Okay.
They're having a live press conference with somebody I don't know.
Some woman from Nashville.
That's...
patting each other on the back. What a great job.
Happy to be here. But officially, the draft going to Nashville, like I said a week ago, or whenever that was that the story broke, the NFL was only mad that it broke. It wasn't that it was wrong.
Right.
It was the NFL was mad that it got leaked out. So we'll see. We'll see where Kansas City lands in this. Now it seems 2020, now according to the rumor, is believed to be the Cleveland/Canton bid.
Right.
with the anniversary of the Hall of Fame.
Right, being 100 years old, so that makes the logical sense.
Oakland's moving to Vegas.
Right.
I think they're going to be in at some point.
And the
Los Angeles is going to open their new stadium,
yep,
and all this fanfare in L.A. They're going to get one. Mm-hmm. Boy, I feel like we're going to get just delayed on this.
No, we are. I mean, it's probably going to get pushed back to never. And like I said earlier, Clark Hunt is in the friend zone with the NFL. He does everything he can to try to get their attention and to try to get them to love him. And he does everything and acquiesces to everything and gets nothing in return. I mean, it really is very sad that we've kind of been put in that state. And it's not just the Chiefs as a franchise. It's us as a city. It's like they don't think enough of us as a city to award us one of these, one of these NFL drafts. And I think based on what they did with the Super Bowl as well, they just awarded two more Super Bowls to wherever it was, Phoenix and New Orleans, I believe. So they've got a lot of the next five or six Super Bowls planned out. You know they're not going to leave Vegas and Los Angeles untouched when it comes to big-time NFL events, and so they'll award the draft there. And I think what they're doing and where the NFL is really, really going about it the wrong way is that they are awarding one draft at a time, making people bid on multiple drafts, but only awarding one at a time, you know? Because when do we know Dallas was getting the draft? After Philadelphia. We knew Philadelphia was getting the draft. They've really not done it far out. They're doing it on a year-by-year-by-year basis, which I guess is to create competition from other cities. But now, when they're going to award the 2020 draft, we'll probably be at this time next year. At this time next year, we'll know that we're not getting the 2020 draft here in Kansas City. It'll be headed to Las Vegas or to Los Angeles. And I feel bad for people like Kathy Nelson. I feel bad for people that, you know, are with the city, the Troy Schultes of the world, and folks who put in a lot of time to put these bids together.
Time, effort, and money.
Yeah,
really,
to present all of this stuff and then to basically just be rebuffed by the NFL. It's just every single time they get excited, they put these bids together, and every single time it goes somewhere else, and it's almost like they're using us or something like that. I don't know what the case is, but I know I don't feel good about it, and I'm upset for a lot of people I know that put in a lot of hard work, and I know there's a lot of people that aren't happy about the way that this process has been handled by the NFL, too, and that's not fair to request all of these bids from people and just not really pay attention to them.
Arizona getting the Super Bowl in 2023, New Orleans in 2024. Your chance to win $1,000 coming up in about 9 minutes. Be listening at 9:30 for your next chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. But the hype train keeps on rolling for Patrick Mahomes. Dan Orlovsky, the former NFL quarterback, is, I think, one of the rising analysts. I really like him. I think he's fun. He's entertaining. He's doing some stuff for the NFL Network and Fox. I don't know if anybody's permanently hired him or not.
Right.
I know he's doing some stuff for the NFL Network. He dropped by The Drive, though, yesterday here on 610 Sports Radio. And he says Patrick Mahomes reminds him of another former NFL quarterback. And I love the comparison.
Patrick Mahomes, when I watch him play, and I know the sample size is small, but when I watch him play, he reminds me of Randall Cunningham. I saw him in person this year. He's bigger than I thought. He's lankier than I thought. He's got a little bit of that lanky arm motion. And so just a guy that has such a bright future. And when you add in the fact of, yes, they have incredible weapons, but Andy Reid, I don't know the last time Andy Reid was part of a bad quarterback. I can't, in my mind, wrap around the idea of when was the last time Andy Reid was part of being, you know, having a bad quarterback. So I think with all those variables, Mahomes has got a really bright future.
Very good points about Andy being around good quarterbacks. He's been around good quarterbacks his entire career. I love the lanky arm. That when you say lanky arm and Randall Cunningham, I go, yeah, that's exactly what he was. He's that guy that threw it for 120 yards on Tecmo.
Yeah, it was. It was crazy.
You drop
right?
him back to the back of the end zone. He chucks it out of the other end zone on a dime.
On a dime.
I want Patrick Mahomes in a Tecmo mode.
Well,
now, with Tecmo Bowe in the backfield, too.
Oh, but
don't get me wrong, because I want to give him the option to run pass. But if I can drop him back to the back of the end zone and have him throw it all the way through the other end zone, that's a quarterback I want on my team.
I want a guy that can make plays out of nothing. And that's what Randall Cunningham was able to do. Not just to throw that ball, because I think, guys that are our age, we got the image of Randall Cunningham right now in your mind. You've got a favorite
scrambling
Randall
around.
Cunningham
he's
play,
all arms
right?
and legs.
Yeah, just really lanky
and
tall.
And that lanky and release, yes.
Good pump fake on him. Yep. But that guy was always able to make plays out of nothing. And it reminds me about the play with Carl Banks down by the end zone where he was sacked. He was tackled. Carl Banks flipped him up in the air and he used his arm as a brace, braced himself. Didn't go to the ground and threw a touchdown pass. Like, those are the type of images I have of Randall Cunningham. And if Pat Mahomes can go out there, Josh, and play like Randall Cunningham, my God, we're going to see a lot of great quarterback play in this league right here in Kansas City. My big, though, concern, if there is one, Randall Cunningham was never able to get it done in the postseason.
That's where I don't like comparisons.
Right.
Because Randall Cunningham didn't win the ultimate prize doesn't mean a quarterback of the same skill set. We're talking about this just a skill set of the quarterback.
Sure, yeah.
So it doesn't matter. But I know it matters. Like, we're like, oh, but. Because you can't compare everyone to the Super Bowl winning quarterbacks.
Right.
Not everybody compares
to
those.
Well, there's not a lot of Super Bowl winning quarterbacks.
There's not a lot of them either. But I really like the Randall Cunningham comparison. Yes, he didn't win the ultimate prize. You know what? He was a hell of a quarterback for a lot of years.
Yeah, he was really good.
It was really athletic, made a ton of plays. I loved Randall Cunningham.
If Pat
Mahomes is Randall Cunningham, great.
Are you good with that? Like, at the end of the day, if Pat Mahomes is Randall Cunningham to a T, entire career, no Super Bowls, no NFC.
No, I want Super Bowls and championships.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Like, but if we don't get that. but if he's as spectacular a player as Randall Cunningham is, are you good with that? I think the answer is probably no.
No, if I want an honest answer, no. That's when you look back and go, damn, he's a heck of a player.
But, right.
We're ready for it. The problem with any quarterback here is we're ready for it. We're ready to get to that next step.
Yes, we are.
So it's an unfair comparison. But I love the Randall, and if someone can figure out a way to slip him in a Tecmo game, I'm sure you can do that now with these retro things. Send it to me. I want to play Pat Mahomes on Tecmo today. Brandon in Olathe is the winner of our Byron giveaway. Another chance to win tomorrow at 9:15. And your chance to win $1,000. Be listening next.
From the MVP Electric Heating and Cooling Studios, Fesco in the Morning, powered by the J.
It's 1,000 on the 30s. Text the word proof. P-R-O-O-F, proof, to 72881. That's 72881. You could be the $1,000 cash winner in our national contest. 610 Sports Radio, the only sports radio station in Kansas City that gives you a chance up to $12,000 each weekday. Listen on the 30s from 7 to 7. Next chance coming up at 10:30. Complete rules at 610sports.com. That's proof to 72881. Like, is there proof, say, Tom Brady isn't at OTAs?
Yes, there is proof.
Oh, there actually
is. We got
proof
now. We got the owner.
They were open.
Yeah,
gotcha.
The OTAs were open, yeah.
So Bill Belichick went classic head coach when asked about players not at off-season voluntary drills.
Bill, Tom's not here today. Have you guys spoken at length about...
Tom's not here. Yeah, I'm not going to talk about the people that aren't here. The guys that are here are improving. They're working hard. And those are the guys we're going to focus on.
When Rob Gronkowski mentioned he's going to play the next season, he talked about coming to meet with you.
Yeah, like I said, Mike, I'm focused on the guys that are here. And those are the guys that we're working with in this OTAs process in phase three. Those are the guys I'm concentrating on. That's who we're focused on.
We're on the phase three.
We're on the phase three at Del Boca Vista.
So Tom Brady's not there. He didn't want to talk about it. The owner, though, does, I guess, right?
Yeah, he does. He's absolutely interested in talking about it. And at the NFL owners meetings today, they of course cornered Bob Kraft, and he says, yeah, I've been in contact with Tom Brady. This comes from Ian Rappaport at Rapsheet on Twitter. Quote, these are voluntary workouts. I think he's in great shape. I think he's at an age where he's blessed to have three children. He has responsibilities. It's hard to fulfill those during the season. He'll be at mini camp, and the relationship between Bill Belichick and him is nothing's changed. Everything is good. So the owner has
nothing
spoken.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah. I mean, of all guys, though, Josh, that people are, like, upset are not at OTAs, Tom Brady's the least of your concerns. I mean, he really is. There's nobody else out there in the NFL. And let me think real quick before I say it. There's nobody in the NFL as a player that I trust more to be ready for a season than Tom Brady. Now that Peyton Manning's no longer around, right? There's nobody you trust more to be ready to go for a season than Tom Brady, especially at this point in his career where you're now just playing for legacy. You're playing kind of for you to make sure that you cement yourself as the greatest quarterback of all time, because I still think there will be people who will say Joe Montana, because Joe Montana never lost a Super Bowl. Well, Tom Brady's won 5 Super Bowls, and if Tom Brady can go out there and win another Super Bowl before he hangs it up and has 6 Super Bowl championships, I mean, that's a pretty impressive number. So I look at it this way. It's Tom Brady. It's not like Tom Brady has to go out there and get ready and gel with a new team or something like that. Tom Brady just has to get himself ready, get his mind ready, and be ready to rock and roll. And I think he's earned the benefit of the doubt in this one. And he's the one guy that I look at and go, okay, so he's not there. Big deal.
I understand that he'll be ready, and it's not the worst thing in the world. This is my thought on OTAs in general. Unless you have a contract holdout, and that
you don't really have those anymore.
Well, Aaron Donald.
Yeah, Aaron Donald is, but I mean he's under a deal.
I
was thinking more along the lines of the rookie holdouts.
Right. If you have some kind of contract thing looming and this is your way to put your stamp
sure.
on. And I get it's voluntary and you don't have to be there. There are only limited times you're like on the field and like have a chance to get better directly at your profession with your team. And I feel like everybody else is there.
Mm-hmm.
And I do feel for those other players. Like everybody else is there kind of, they're going through this.
Right.
Why aren't you there?
Mm-hmm.
And that's for everybody. I'm not bagging on Tom Brady because this happens every year at this time. I get it. But I've just always been in the camp of everybody else is there doing it. You have limited opportunities to get everybody together on the field and going through things together as a team in order to get better. And why would you waste those opportunities?
Well, we've seen over the years, though, too, or not over the years, over the last couple of months, that this has become a drama-filled existence up in New England and the way Tom Brady feels about maybe not being respected up there. And this is obviously not because he doesn't want to be there with his team and not get ready. This is a message where he's sending. He's got the opportunity to have the upper hand here. And when you're a player in the NFL, you don't have many of those opportunities to have the upper hand. He's doing what I think almost a lot of people would love to do in the world, especially folks that are in the working world every day. They'd love to have the upper hand on management for a little bit, to be able to do what they want to do, really suffer no repercussions, send a message while doing it, and still at the end of the day be able to go to work, make your money, and continue to cash your check. And that's what Tom Brady's doing right now. He's thinking to himself, okay, if there really is that story that came out about who's going to get the credit, Tom or Bill, remember mm-hmm, when that mm-hmm. story came out? He's really making sure that people know I'm the one that gets credit for this, not Bill Belichick. And now let's let Bill Belichick go through OTAs without me, and let's see how good he is. It's a power play.
This is a power play.
And I can't fault him for that, because the players in the NFL, there's no loyalty by the teams, especially a team like the New England Patriots. I mean, they'll cut anybody at any time if they don't feel that you can help them win anymore. And it was clear last year that Bill Belichick was starting to lean towards the, I'm not, content with Tom Brady as my quarterback anymore. And that's why the owner ultimately ended up trading Jimmy Garoppolo, because he wanted to appease Tom Brady. And I think you've got an owner that is extremely loyal to both sides. And at the end of the day, he realizes too, Josh, that I can't win without Brady. I can't win without Bill Belichick. I need both of them here. But players make the plays ultimately. And Bill Belichick's decisions cost them a Super Bowl. Tom Brady's decisions didn't cost him a Super Bowl. So if you're trying to decide, if you're the owner, who you're saddling up with, I'm saddling up with the guy that threw for 500 yards and gave me a chance to win the Super Bowl, not the guy who benched my best player on defense and prevented me from winning a Super Bowl.
The case can also be made for why go to OTAs when you have a devastating injury, and the Chargers have one in a tight end Hunter Henry, blew out a knee in a non-contact form.
Those are the worst.
At OTAs yesterday. Going to get a second opinion, but the early reports were done for the season, blown out knee before the season even begins. Yes, you can always make that case. I've always just made the case of that could happen if you're working out and running pass patterns on your own.
Sure.
I still think that there's value, and yeah, there is a risk of injury, but I still think there's enough value to do these things, to have these off-season workouts with your team. The interesting part to me is I don't know if I should be scared out. Hunter had a really good tight end, right?
Yeah, good.
They're calling Antonio Gates.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I don't like that, even though I don't think he has anything left anymore.
Right.
It still scares me. I've seen Antonio Gates like way too much as a possible option for the Chargers. So you make the case that OTAs are crap And I'm sure you are if you're a Charger fan today. Like, look, we got a guy hurt
right
for these meaningless voluntary offseason drills. But I think that there's some value to getting your team together.
I love after practice, too. Anthony Lynn, the head coach of the Chargers, is like, he's fine. We just held him back because we can. No. No, you didn't hold him back because you could. He's not playing because he tore his ACL. And he's going to get a second opinion about it, but it looks like he's done for the season.
Royals lineup is out for today.
What do we got?
Royals and the Cardinals for Game 3 today here on 610 Sports Radio. Guess who's playing first base?
Whit Merrifield again?
Nope.
Mike Moustakas.
Nope.
Hunter Dozier.
Nope.
Keep guessing.
Jorge Soler.
Nope.
I'm out of options. Alex Gordon.
Nope.
Salvador Perez.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Really?
Text line suggesting Gosh for that one, by the way.
Unlike the other day, or like a week or so ago, when remember Moose was at first, and we were, oh, my gosh, and then they tested his arm and they moved him, whatever.
It's actually Salvador Perez's second start at first base. He started there in 2013.
That's correct.
But there's always been the thought. Deep dive by Vern. He did have an error in that start.
Maybe maybe you know, you don't want that catcher, that big catcher with the knees and thing. Maybe you find another spot for him, and they're going to put him at first base today.
Day game after a night game, give him a rest, also be able to, you know, keep his bat in the lineup. It's day game after night game.
It is. And you know what?
In National League Park.
In a National League Park. I would say right now that if they were playing in Texas or wherever, he'd be DHing today.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, correct. Hands down.
Yeah.
Correct.
So that's the reason why I don't think it's a showcase Salvi at first base. When you play in these National League Parks, you have to do some innovative things.
Keep the bat in the lineup.
Yeah, and keep the bat in the lineup. You want his bat in the lineup. He had a big hit last night, obviously, with the big-time home run. And so you want to keep him in the lineup doing those things and continue to produce for you because he's been consistent as it comes all year long. And now you get the opportunity to play him at first base in a National League game. It's better than sticking him in right field. I have shades of Eric Hosmer in right field in St. Louis or Philadelphia, one of those places.
Gold glove defender could look so terrible in the field.
I really thought he was going to be able to do it, too. I mean,
yeah, it was terrible.
Like, why wouldn't he?
Yeah. Like Kendrys Morales.
Like behind the scenes, they're like, oh, my God, that guy was terrible out there.
The pitcher, Kendrys Morales?
Did you see Kendrys Morales is claiming that he took his glasses off and now he's seeing the ball better. He said he was seeing the ball too well and that he was missing it because he was seeing the ball too well. So now he removed the glasses.
Have you ever worn the blue blockers?
Yeah.
The old lady glasses?
Yeah, but they were
like
awesome.
The yellow glasses that are really bright. I had a pair of those for golf at one point in time. They weren't blue blockers, but they were like made for golf. And they gave me a headache because they were too bright. They were like, you saw too much stuff and your like head was spinning. So maybe he's
So you side with Kendrys Morales.
I do on this one. Strangely really enough.
I was seeing the ball too well. Yeah. He said it looked like a beach ball.
There was too much stuff. He wants to make the game tougher on himself. So Salvi's playing first. Vern will have much more on that coming up with the pregame coverage at 11 and a 12:15 first pitch for the Royals and Cardinals today. ESPN is banking big time on another sport. I take our city for granted. We'll discuss that as well next.
Fesco in the morning, powered by the Jewish Community Center, 610 Sports Radio.
You can do.
ESPN's banking on a new sport for themselves at big time bucks. ESPN is going to broadcast 30 UFC events, Bob, per year during now a 5-year deal. Now, it was reported earlier that they were going to be taking some fights. They were going to be jumping in, getting some UFC. Now it's being reported they're buying the entire package.
Uh-huh.
30 events per year, $1.5 billion over 5 years.
You think they did the Dr. Evil finger when they...
They're paying $1.5 billion
to the UFC.
I don't know that sounds like a lot.
You don't think $1.5 billion is a lot
for 5 years
of for 30 fights?
Is it $1.5 billion a year for five?
No, over 5 years.
No, because $1.5 billion over five, and then it's 30 events per year.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's a lot for UFC.
I'm curious how they're going to define an event as well. Like, is it going to be a Friday night fight? Is it going to be the Saturday night fight night package that they have? Is it going to be a pay-per-view?
I don't think it's expensive, because you look at what they get for the NFL. They're getting, you know, some networks are paying $1 billion a year for the
one
National
night.
Football League
for one
for,
night
for Sunday afternoon. I mean, it's I don't think this is a lot of money at all.
You're just 1. Not sticker 5. Shocked anymore.
I'm not. No,
I think it seems like a lot of money to me.
$1.5 billion divided by five.
Instead of splitting the package, they bought the whole thing. So, like,
I mean,
what's it going to take to buy the whole thing?
As someone who's a pretty big MMA fan, like, to me, I feel like ESPN kind of had the advantageous position here, because they do serve more of a benefit to mixed martial arts and the UFC, because to a slight degree, it legitimizes what you're doing. That's not to say that it's not a legitimate sport already, but to be on a major network like that and to be part of a package that's what we say synonymous with sports, like, to be able to be on that platform,
right,
it gives it a little more legitimacy with the casual or even fan people that aren't fans of UFC. It's going to attract new eyes to your product. It's going to put, you know, eyeballs that weren't there before, and it might change a few minds about it.
It may. So. No, I think it's better for the UFC, absolutely, than it is for ESPN. But you know what this could also be, too? This could be another thing that they're going to put on that ESPN Plus platform that you have to subscribe to in order to get this event, because if you got 30 events, what are they going to be on Friday nights, basically, is what they're saying? It's going to go Friday night? That's
they didn't really define the event. See, and that's the other thing I'm curious about, because right now they have, you know, the Ultimate Fighter. They also have Dana White's Contender Series. So there's numerous things that they could put on there to define as an event. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it would cut into their pay-per-view buy. So, I mean, right now, that's their bread and butter. Why would you sell your pay-per-views
right.
for $1.5 billion over 5 years?
Yeah, and I think also, too, though, if it's going to be Friday nights, it probably is going to be on that ESPN Plus, because for a lot of the time, it's NBA on Friday nights. I mean, that's always been a big staple for ESPN, is NBA on Friday nights. So I could see ESPN benefiting the UFC, but also the UFC benefiting ESPN as they venture to this ESPN Plus, and to get people to subscribe to ESPN Plus, you got to give them something there that they want. And as we talked about yesterday with the WWE fans, you know, they're big time loyal folks, and I think UFC's the same way. And if all of a sudden you're going to have UFC on ESPN Plus, you'll probably see a big subscription increase in that. I don't think you get that for the four major sports. Like, if all of a sudden there was an NFL game once per week on ESPN Plus, like if they put Monday Night Football only on ESPN Plus, are you subscribing to that? I'm not. I don't care enough
about
it. And
the UFC currently has UFC Fight Pass, which they air the Contender Series and the Ultimate Fighter.
Right.
And you can catch all of the fights. I mean, you can catch the Invicta fights on the... So right now they have a package that does that. I'm curious what
if
that
ESPN
does
takes
to
that
the,
over.
The Fight Pass. Because obviously, right now when you're talking about streaming services, ESPN has a giant platform to be able to work with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they're currently right now starting to build their own set to where they're trying to take away stuff from Netflix, and they're putting things onto their own streaming
right.
platform. May as well start aligning and finding yourself on a bigger market, because, you know, let's face it, like, UFC doesn't have the following that WWE has. And I know it sounds crazy to think that, but, like, WWE fans are crazy loyal
right.
to the sport. Like, the WWE package, the little, what, it's like a streaming channel that they sell?
Mm-hmm.
That thing is huge with the wrestling community. I don't know a lot of people that have UFC Fight Pass. I mean, I don't anymore.
I wouldn't say that you never do it either. I remember back in the day where they would play stuff on ESPNU.
Right, to get you to subscribe.
That you wanted to see. And I know I added it on a few times to catch like a KU game. And then back when you could dump it then right away, like dump it.
Yeah.
But they would put programming on ESPNU there for a time to build up the demand for ESPNU. They're doing the same thing with ESPN Plus
yeah,
now.
And,
so
and I think
wouldn't
that's
say,
what we're going
to
see.
I wouldn't say I would never do it.
Right.
The interesting part of this story, though, to me, guys, is funny. The story comes from ESPN, right? So ESPN and UFC have agreed to a new 5-year deal that will bring the Mixed Martial Arts League entire rights package from Fox Sports to ESPN. According to ESPN and multiple reports. Then it says, Variety first reported on the agreement early Wednesday morning.
So ESPN got scooped on their own
news
by somebody else.
Why aren't you breaking the news of your own network? But
because they wanted to break it when they wanted to break it,
yeah,
with all the NFL stuff going
but
on
I think
today.
It's just funny that they attribute it to it. Well, Variety first reported on our agreement earlier.
Yeah.
So the entire package will cost $1.5 billion over 5 years, include 30 events per year, according to ESPN and reports.
Yeah, and reports.
Just funny.
It's on your website. It's on ESPN's website.
Yeah.
Well, it's good that they do that. They, you know, for a while they didn't source anybody, and they didn't.
How do you
attribute,
not have all of the information?
They didn't attribute anybody that beat them to stories for a while. Now they're going overboard the other direction. Like, we will go to stories that that are us, that somebody else got.
We have some more breaking news from the National Football League. This from Adam Schefter. Anthem resolution is likely to be announced today, and it is expected to allow players to stay in the locker room during the anthem and fine teams for any flag anthem disrespect per league source. Are you going to define what disrespect is? Putting your head down, is that disrespect? Looking up in the air, is that disrespect? Putting your fist up in the air, is that disrespect? Turning your back, is that disrespect? Taking a knee, is that disrespect? What defines disrespect? What defines disrespect? And whose definition of disrespect are you talking about? Because I believe right now that the folks that are taking a knee for the national anthem don't believe they are disrespecting the national anthem. So you're getting into semantics with this thing, man. This is not going to be a good solution.
Judy Batista of NFL.com tweeted, Anthem policy is a compromise. If players are on the sideline, we'll stand. But if players may choose to stay in the locker room if they prefer not to stand.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. That's fair. I think that's a good compromise.
Another rousing victory for the vocal minority.
Oh, so I guess. Now we're going to have to do a head count, figure out who's not there.
Who's not there.
And go back to
somebody's
them and
gonna be in charge
ask
of
them
yeah,
why
they weren't there.
What
yeah.
platform they would like to...
Doesn't feel like compromise. It feels like censorship. That's what
feels
it feels like.
The NFL.
Feels like censorship.
Feels like the NFL got their way.
Out of sight, out of mind. Stay in the locker room, and nobody wants to hear about your plight.
That's a crappy message.
If they're saying it's a compromise, though, that means the players had input. I don't know. I'm so confused by all this now.
Salvi's playing first today. Vern coming up at 11. The day shift comes your way next. You're on 610 Sports Radio.
Well, Denny, let's go out and have some cheese soup.
From the MVP Electric Heating and Cooling Studios, Fesco in the Morning, powered by the Jay.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.